Hello, this is Tom Williams, and you are listening to Talk Theater in Chicago's interview podcast. Our special guest is a lady who everyone has heard sing many times, but very few people know who she is, and we'll explain that in a minute. Say hello to Marnie Nixon. Hello, Marnie.
Hello there, Tom.
I've got to ask you and tell our listeners, because a lot of the young theater people who listen to our podcast might not know you by name, but they know they've heard you sing because you sang for Audrey Hepburn in My Fair Lady. You sang for Deborah Carr in King and I. You sang for Natalie Wood in West Side Story. Tell us how you got that kind of gig and how in those days they did stuff like that.
Well, excuse me. It's dubbing in those days, I suppose, more than nowadays, was a very usual thing. There were a lot of people whose voices were dubbed for years at MGM that had many voices with them, and nobody ever even thought about it in those days. I was around. I'm a native Californian, and I made my early career around there, but I was also in my teens doing a lot of chorus work and things just to kind of make a living for my concert career. First of all, I was going to be a violinist, and then I was a classical singer. And so word just got around that I could do a lot of imitating of voices and stuff. And I did a lot of studio work. They call you in for just incidental things, you know, and somebody who is humming in a bathtub or something, you know. And then, actually, in The King and I, they had hired somebody else to do Deborah Carr's voice, and she actually died. She was in Europe doing a production of I think it was Oklahoma, and she contracted a strange polio virus and died. And they had already hired her to do the dubbing, and they were about to start filming. And so they called in desperation. They knew I could do it, or they thought I could, and sent me a little recording, a black wax platter that they played for me of Deborah Carr's speaking voice. And they said, "Do you think you could sing like this speaking voice?" And I said, "Yes, of course." And then I came in the next day and auditioned, and then I had the job, and there we went. And that was the first really big dubbing job.
And what's amazing about that is in terms of the way the studios ran it, you never got credit until fairly recently. I mean, I never knew it until I think maybe the past 10 years when you started getting credit. So you were kind of unknown on that.
Yes, I had to sign so that nobody would ever know. I mean, they had me sign the contract to say that I would not say anything, ever. And as a matter of fact, they threatened me and said that I would never work in town again if anybody ever knew that I'd done any of the dubbing for Deborah Carr.
Wow. Well, I hope they compensated you well enough for that.
Well, it was all right. But that was par for the course. I mean, nobody really knew that dubbing was happening.
And now let me ask you, because I know you did it for Audrey Hepburn and for Natalie Wood. I mean, in three of the major films, how does it work? Do you sing first and then she mimics you, or do you know? Explain this, how that works, because I'm fascinated by that.
Well, the best way, of course, is when you really work with the actress and they really have accepted the fact that they are going to be dubbed, and then they, and regardless, they have to let you know how they would do it. You have to hear them singing it. You have to then add the quality of the sound. Excuse me, I just finished dinner. It was a barbecue.
I hope it was good.
Yes, it was good. I'm here, I'm sitting backstage at the Opera House at the Kennedy Center.
Oh, terrific.
We're rehearsing the show, and while it's being performed, I'm hanging around backstage and watching where my entrances are and things. And anyway, so when you do the dubbing, you have to really have a good rehearsal time with the actress, and you have to know everything about what they're doing in the scene, if you can. And then they, so then you go and record it with that in mind, with the accent and the quality of voice that you think that they should have. And it's usually with her approval. And then they have to mouth to that when it's filmed.
Okay.
And then sometimes it doesn't work out. Sometimes because they change some of the editing and stuff, you have to go back and you have to redo that to the movie.
But, you know, you almost wouldn't know in all three of these. But now tell us about the people, because, I mean, Deborah Carr and Audrey Hepburn and Natalie Wood were major stars. How are they ego-wise in it? How are they to work with?
Well, Deborah Carr was fantastic. And even to her dying day, she was wonderful to me. I just wrote a book called I Could Have Sung All Night. And I had a picture of Deborah and myself that I had to have her approve of in order to publish it. And the deadline was passed, and I said, no, I will get to her, and she will give me permission. And finally, FedEx traveled around until I sent it to one address. Finally, I found her where she was in England. And she then sent a message and gave me permission, thank God, and for this picture. But she was very supportive and just a lovely, lovely lady.
How about Audrey Hepburn and Natalie Wood?
Audrey Hepburn was also wonderful, but it was not known how much of my voice was going to be used. It was sort of a big, big improv, and she kept recording things, and then she would go back to the recording session and re-record things as she learned to sing them better. She was taking voice lessons, to which I was also present, or at which I was present, and just to learn all of her ways of singing and the energy levels and how her voice sounded and her pronunciation. That's mainly the thing in pronunciation with these things, with accents. And we would record one song, and most of the time we knew what was going to be, which was going to be me and what was going to be her. But then she would go back and re-record some of the things, trying to get as much of herself in there, and then finally they threw out all of her things, and then I came back to after she had filmed, like for instance, Wouldn't It Be Loverly was filmed to her track, which I thought was not bad, except that the quality of her sound is really not the kind of sound you would want to hear on I Could Have Danced All Night, where she becomes a lady. So even though the sound, because of the pronunciation, does change when you get more refined, she couldn't quite get it as well as the producers thought. So they then had me come back and really put into my voice with my particular timbre of sound into that she'd already recorded.
And I've had the honor of hearing that. You know, there are a couple of recordings around of her doing. And boy, what a difference when you do it and she does it. It's like, you know, it's great as beauty and an actress as she was. You were the pro when it came to singing.
Well, the trick in the dubbing, of course, is to try to get all of their nuance and accent and special kind of pronunciations that you can, so it doesn't sound like it's a different sound that from them, and so it really sounds like them.
Yeah, and then to move from that to Natalie Wood and in West Side Story, I mean that's quite a departure. So you got three different styles and three different sort of accents going.
Yes, and I did another one for Deborah Carr too, An Affair to Remember.
That's right. Yeah.
And I did that in several foreign languages too.
You also did for Rita Moreno in West Side Story.
Yes, well, there were a couple places where actually she had a cold, and we were recording that day, and so they said, well, you sing her part too. And I tried to change the sound of my voice, and it worked out okay. Nobody really knew the difference.
Wow. And a lot of people don't know, my research shows that you hit the top notes for Marilyn Monroe in Diamonds Are a Girl's Best Friend.
That's correct.
And that, how was Marilyn to work with? I've heard all kinds of stories.
I never worked with her.
Oh, you just...
My relationship was just coming into the studio. They played me her voice, and they said, can you try to match it? And this is the tune, and these are the words, and you just stand there, and you just improvise until you get it right, and then you get your paycheck, and you leave.
Wow. So it's all about craft and technique.
Huh? Yes, I guess so.
Well, let's go on now. A lot of people don't know that you played Eliza on My Fair Lady on Broadway.
Yes, in 1964, I did my first My Fair Lady at New York City Center, and it was just a glorious experience. I had just left the filming of Sound of Music, where I played one of the nuns, the Fox movie, and I left the next day and went to New York City to audition for the role of My Fair Lady.
And now you're going to play Mrs. Higgins in the tour that will be coming to Chicago.
Yes.
From the 22nd of January to February 3rd.
Yes.
And that, tell us about that. That must be fun. And ironically, it's not a singing part.
Yes, it's very strange. It's a very important part. It's you're not on stage as long as Eliza Doolittle, that's for sure. But it's fun to do. I would have hoped to be able to sing, but when you do this, and there's no question that they can't add a song or anything like that. So that's all right. I'm an actress too, so it doesn't matter this time.
Yeah, it's all about the work, huh?
Right.
Yeah, and you had a bio show, Marnie Nixon, The Voice of Hollywood.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
Yes, I travel around with that. It's my one woman show. I've been doing that quite a bit when I can book it in. A lot of times I get so busy that I can't plan it, and I have the last time I did it was down in Florida last year. And probably I would change it now. I'm working on a new concept of a new show with the Vineyard Theater in Martha's Vineyard. And we're putting together another show for me, but it's not complete yet. We're sort of in abeyance and doing it by email until I get through with this tour, and then we'll go back to putting it on its feet.
Well, you're a busy lady, and that's terrific. You also were in Cabaret. You played the Fräulein.
Yes, Fräulein Schneider.
Schneider, yes.
Yes.
And she's got a couple of great songs.
Yes, I love that, and I love doing it on Broadway. It was wonderful, and I've done it several times and enjoyed it very much.
And you were in Follies in the Stephen Sondheim show. I think that's one of the great shows.
Yes. As a matter of fact, I was just talking. I've got discombobulated. I was talking about Follies. That's true. Yes. That's what I did on Broadway. And the Cabaret, I did lots of tours with it, but I didn't do that on Broadway.
Okay. And you were in James Joyce's The Dead.
Yes, that I did on Broadway.
Yeah, we had a production of that here in Chicago for a couple of years. That's a really terrific show.
Yes, it is.
Very
indeed.
Irish. What part did you play in that?
I was the... Am I drawing a blank? I was the... of course, one of the sisters.
One of the sisters, okay. And I know the part.
Yeah. Okay.
Of the two sisters.
Yes.
You also did the children's show Boomerang for many years.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
Well, Boomerang was begun in Seattle. I was living in Seattle at that point. I was singing with the opera company, and I had a children's show.
This was television, right?
It was television. But they wanted to start this new show called Boomerang, and I created a kind of, for instance, we did an interview with just kind of imagining what I would do if I were to do a children's show, and I made up a script, and I used some puppets, and then I got the part, and then we created the whole show with one puppet, and then it then grew into two puppets, hand puppets, and I was the star of it, and this puppet was my son, and then it was really about 2 to 6 year olds, how they handle certain transactions that happen to them, and certain kinds of information. A half-hour show, a sitcom.
Sounded like a lot of fun.
Oh, it was really so much fun, but very, very exacting, and I think I had a couple nervous breakdowns afterwards. It was really pressurized, but wonderful, wonderful thing, and we were going to syndicate it. We had 127 shows, and then finally at the end the syndication fell through, which was a darn shame.
Well, I'm sure they're still around. With all the cable channels, they're always looking for programming.
Yes,
there's maybe still hope for it, I would think.
Well, we were in reruns for 27 years.
Wow. Not bad.
Yeah.
Well, you have had a marvelous career. Let me ask you this in closing. What do you consider a couple of your major achievements?
Well, I think having three wonderful children, and being able to carry on a career all my life, first as a violinist and then a classical singer, and carrying that through the time that I was then in musical theater, and doing all of that, and the dubbing things was just sort of like a part of my career that became very famous because they're movies, you know, and they apply to so many people. So many people see that. But I've forgotten what your question was. I just keep on going, and I've moved to New York, and I love being in New York, and I do a lot of teaching and master classes, and try to deal with classical and music theater elements. And
that is so good that you're giving something back with the teaching and helping the next generation, passing the torch on.
Oh, yes, and it helps you to learn, too, and it keeps you vital. And I like to do my own projects, and I want to do a couple more movies and recordings and things. So
great. You have a lot of energy. And I can't wait to see you in My Fair Lady here in Chicago. I know it's a major production. The buzz on it is very good.
Oh, it's wonderful.
Yeah, and it'll be so great to see you in that. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And thank you, folks, for listening. And remember, go see a play this week.